Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't know how much I'll get out. I'm fixing last week the allergy stuff and pollen had been hard on me, and this week has been no better. Doubling up on medicine, taking things to try to help. Seems like ever since I've had my voice problems, when allergy season comes, it hits me hard. But that's all right. We'll do what we can do. And we'll say amen and go to the house. But I have on my heart some things that seem to fit with all that has been said and done already today. But I want to try to share a little bit about living with resurrection hope. Living with resurrection hope. Notice verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, then rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Let me pause long enough. Say that word, prevent, is the idea of preceding. Paul could be saying it like this: we that are alive and well will not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's reading the passage the Lord has placed on my heart. It's hard to find any hope in this world. I've thought of so many offenses this week thought of hopeless situations that are facing people economically. People are worried about recession. People are worried about costs of living. People have watched their retirement funds take a hit. People are asking what's yet to come. What's going to be? See pictures of people in places like Ukraine and Gaza. People holding loved ones that have been killed and weeping. Looking at their situations that seem to be so hopeless. I have thought about the hopelessness that must be in the mind of a young man. Take a gun on a college campus and shoot people and kill people. I thought, what kind of hopelessness rests in that kind of mind? So there is so much hopelessness in our world. But you and I that know the Lord, we have hope. And it all rests on the fact of Easter. It all rests on the fact that we have a risen Savior. If there were no resurrection, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith is vain. Our labors are worthless. Paul said our preaching doesn't mean anything. Paul said our loved ones that have died in Christ are forever gone. If there be no resurrection. Paul is writing in this portion to a church in Thessalonica. Paul had visited, preached to them. They had come to trust Christ as their Savior. Paul had continued his journey. But he began to get word. Those saints at Thessalonica, they're struggling right now. Paul had told them that Jesus was coming. They thought he'd been right away. But he hadn't come. Then one by one, they started seeing their loved ones die. So they began to worry. Have we missed it? Have we been left out? Are they gone and we'll never see them again? Has all this changed because our loved ones have died? So Paul writes, and he gives them some of the greatest words of hope people can receive. But nation first in the whole section is found in verse 14. Paul said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the cornerstone of it all. That is the foundation of all that he has to say." I ask you today, do you really believe that he died and rose again? Why, surely we would say, "Why, yes, preacher, I do. That's why I'm here. That's why I worship. That's why I serve him. Because he died and rose again and lives forever." He is telling them about resurrection hope in a world that seems so violent and so hopeless. What does resurrection hope do for us? For one thing, it calms our worry about death. Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I'll be honest with you, death troubles us all. I know that we say in our hearts, "I'm ready to meet the Lord. I know I'm saved by the grace of God." But I want to tell you, there's something about death that troubles all of our hearts. "I'm ready to go and meet the Lord, but I'll be honest, I'm not ready to jump on the next trip. I like living this life for Him. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my church. I enjoy life." There's something about leaving it all behind. Troubles our hearts. There's something about our loved ones leaving. Troubles our hearts. Sat with my mom the other day. She'll be 97 in a few months. And we were talking, and I said something about it. She said, "Well, if I make it to then, it'll probably be my last one." I said, "Mom, you've said that for the last several ones. God's left you here." You know what she said? She said, "I've surely been blessed." I began to think, Lord, and dread the thoughts of the day that you'll probably call her home. If time goes on, I dread that thought. My heart goes out to Brother Chris and his family because of the sorrow that fills their hearts. Paul said, "I know you sorrow, I know you hurt." Paul said, "I know there's an emptiness. I know that there's something missing in your life right now. But he said, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Paul didn't say that we don't sorrow. But he said we don't sorrow like others sorrow. I think about families out there that have loved ones to be killed or die that don't know the Lord. Their tears are as real as ours are. They have no hope. Paul said, we weep, we cry, we sorrow, we hurt. But it's not like others that have no hope. Our sorrows are genuine, our tears are real. Paul said, something that keeps us going is hope. Causes us to realize there's something beyond this life. Recently, I had the time to sit and read an article. And the article was about, it called my teaching, causes about a man that said he clinically died for several minutes and they brought him back. Said he wanted to tell everybody what he saw. So I thought, well, I'm going to read that, just see what he said. Every now and then, people come up with those things and they'll say, well, I saw a light. Some saw all this and the other one thing, but I'll be honest, I wasn't really impressed with what he said. Because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And our loved ones that knew the Lord when they left this world, took their last breath here, and they saw Jesus on the other side of life. Before Henry died, they stayed with him pretty much day and night. And they said his life the night before he went home to be the Lord. Said occasionally he'd lift his hand up. Chris was telling me about it. I thought, Lord, what was you letting me see? I can't help but believe he saw something. He wanted to take a hand over there. And the Lord let him do that when it was time. We sorrow because death bothers us. But Paul said, we don't sorrow like others, which have no hope. So the resurrection calms our worry about death. I don't stand here today and wonder where my dad's at or my sisters are or Henry or others that's been taken out of our congregation that love the Lord. I know where they are. They're in His presence today. The resurrection, secondly, confirms our assurance in the rapture. Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Paul said, Jesus is coming. And he says, I know it because he died and rose again. It confirms our assurance in the second coming of Christ. With our authority based on the resurrection proves that he's coming again. Adam talked about it outside. Heard that in Corinthians. Paul said we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, corruptible put on incorruption. All of our life will be changed. That word changed, Paul used there. It means to change from one thing to another. Thank God when Jesus comes, the dead Christ are going to rise first. But thank God they're not rise with a body shriveled by cancer. They'll not rise with a body devastated from sickness. They'll not rise with a body that has been racked with pain. Thank God they'll be crawled up and changed into a glorified body. And we which are alive and remain, we'll also be changed. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm desiring. If God sees that I go by the grave, that'll be all right. But I sure would like to see Him come in the air, wouldn't you? I'd like to be somewhere. I'll be honest, standing right here would be a good place to be when Jesus comes again. I'd like to be telling about Jesus and all of a sudden gone in the rapture. Wouldn't that be good? Be right here and be changed and gone in a twinkling of an eye. And that has already been said, they have it all. I don't have nothing at the house I need to go get. Thank God they have all that I've got. Because I'm going to have all of heaven's got over there. Thank God we're going to lay aside all the worries, the cares, the burdens, the trials, the sicknesses, sorrows of life. Some people may ask the question, well, preacher, what about these bodies been in the ground for centuries, turned back to dust? What about those cremated remains or soldiers that were saved, their bodies got destroyed? God knows where every speck of dust is. God knows where every speck of ash is. And when He comes, He'll bring them all together into a glorified body. Thank God, I'm glad that He's coming. And I know that because he rose again. But when he left, said, if I go away, I will come again. I will come again. Then let me just give you a life talk and I'm done. Paul said that the resurrection calms our worry about death, confirms our assurance in the rapture. But he said it comforts our heart and faith. He said in verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe that's what we're doing today by gathering and worshiping and talking about the resurrection and the coming of the Lord. I believe we're just comforting one another till it comes. I believe when it comes, there's going to be a reunion day. Paul said the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, catch the word, will be caught up together. Together. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. I like that word together. There's coming a day we'll see our loved ones again. This day, there's coming a day you'll see Joel one more again over there. Coming a day, then you'll see Charlie. There's coming a day we'll see Henry. Coming a day, all of these that have gone before. There'll be a glad reunion day. Glad reunion day. With great sadness we say goodbye to loved ones. Paul said we do sorrow. Our hearts do break. Our hearts get heavy. There's sadness. But Paul said, remind yourselves with these thoughts that there's coming a day we'll see them again. There's coming a day we'll gather in the city of God where all the sickness and sorrows and sadness and troubles of life will be banished forever and we'll be at home with Him. I believe Paul is saying to them what the Word says to us. Press on, weary pilgrims. I know you get tired. I know your hearts get heavy. I know you get weary. But press on. It's not going to be long till Jesus comes again. I've had Kevin to tell me on more than one occasion, and Adam was talking a little bit about it outside. But I've had him to tell me on more than one occasion that he said sometimes the coughing gets so hard, so bad, I can't hardly get my breath, and I'll just ask the Lord to help me. And he said he's always been there. And he made the statement the other day to me. He said, he's always been faithful. And he is. And he is. He's faithful when your hearts are heavy. He's faithful when you sorrow. And he's faithful when you hurt. He's faithful when there's pain and disappointments. Say, God is faithful. How do I know? Because He lives. Because He lives. He's alive forevermore. I can rejoice today in Him because my Savior lives. That's the message the Lord put on my heart. I'm glad that we live in resurrection hope. I don't have to go through this whole world and say, man, man. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm glad I'm facing this world and say, Lord, You live. And because You live, I'm faced today. I'm faced tomorrow. And I'm longing for You to return and take us home to be with You. Brother David, would you give us a song? There may be a need in somebody's heart today that you need to bring to Jesus. There may even be somebody today you say, preacher, I don't have that kind of hope. But you can in Jesus. There may be somebody saying, preacher, my hope is being shaken by a lot of things. But you can find strength in Jesus today. Because He lives, He can meet your every need. Let's stand and let's sing.